It is now time again to become a student in the Warren County Radio Bible School, and that's the old school bell you hear ringing. And this being a Monday morning, we're going to begin with a reading from the Rock Cliff Review, the bulletin that is passed out to those who attend the services at the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff on Sunday mornings. And this bulletin, like so many of them, summarizes some things that are mentioned in the sermon. And this time, the article in the bulletin is titled, "The Meek Shall Inherit the Earth." Now, here's how the article reads. The inscription over the 37th Psalm identifies it as a Psalm of David. It appears to have been written as David was growing older. For David writes in Psalm 37 and verse 25, "I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." The psalm is an acrostic of 22 sections, roughly following the Hebrew alphabet. Each section consists of four lines, often spread over two verses, but sometimes all four lines are in a single verse. It is filled with parallelisms. It is a psalm of 8 precepts that give instruction and 14 proverbs that state a truth. The overriding theme is faith in the face of evildoers. The first section sets the theme. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. Psalm 37, 1-2. Perhaps the most well-known words of this psalm are Psalm 37, 11. The meek shall inherit the earth. Jesus used these words in the third beatitude of the Sermon on the Mount, where he said in Matthew 5 and verse 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." The psalm gives us the meaning of meekness. The meek are they who do not fret, verses 1, 7, and 8, who are not envious, verse 1. The meek trust in the Lord, Psalm 37, verses 3, 5, and 40, and they delight in him in verse 4. They commit their way to the Lord in verse 5. They rest in the Lord in verse 7. And they wait patiently for him, verses 7 and 9. They cease from anger and forsake wrath in verse 8. Though evil abounds, the meek are righteous, perfect, and upright. They show mercy and give, verses 21 and 26. The meek man is a good man, whose steps are ordered by the Lord, verse 23. He speaks wisdom and talks of judgment, Psalm 37:30. And the law of God is in his heart, Psalm 37:31. God had promised earthly blessings to the seed of Abraham if they would trust him. This included the promised land, which they and their children would receive for an inheritance, Genesis 17:8. In the 37th Psalm, David sings, "Thou shalt dwell in the land and be fed," verse 3. "He shall give thee the desires of thy heart," verse 4. "He shall bring it to pass," verse 5. "He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the new day," Psalm 37 and verse 6. "They shall inherit the earth," verse 9. "The meek shall inherit the earth and delight themselves in the abundance of peace," verse 11. "Their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. In the day of famine they shall be satisfied," Psalm 37, 18 and 19. "Such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth," verse 22. "Though he fall, he will not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand," verse 24. "He shall dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever," verse 28. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever, verse 29. None of his steps shall slide, verse 31. The Lord will not leave him in the hand of the wicked, nor condemn him when he is judge, Psalm 37:33. He shall exalt thee to inherit the land, verse 34. And the end of that man is peace, Psalm 37:37. The salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble, and the Lord shall help him and deliver him. He shall deliver him from the wicked and save him. Psalm 37, verses 39 through 40. The Jews were a beaten down and oppressed people in the time of Jesus, but among them were the meek. They were the faithful remnant who waited patiently for the Messiah and for the coming of his kingdom. Jesus had been preaching the gospel of the kingdom, Matthew 4:23, and saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, Matthew 4:17. In context, the meek would inherit the earth with the coming of this kingdom. They already had their land. Every one of these beatitudes promised spiritual blessings, and this was no exception. With the coming of the kingdom, they would be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, Matthew 5:33-14. Through him, the gospel would go to the uttermost parts of the earth, Acts 1:8. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, Acts 2:21. The promise would be to them and their children, and all them that are far off, Acts 2:39. Abraham would become the father of all them that believe, Romans 4:11. And thus, through the righteousness of faith, Abraham would become heir of the world, Romans 4:13. There's no better way to inherit the earth than that. Well, that was the bulletin for that Sunday morning, and we read from the Rock Cliff Review, because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now we're going to return, for the time we have left, to the Sunday school lesson that we are studying, and look at the notes E.A. Elam wrote for this lesson for the Sunday schools of September the 7th, 1924. And this is when the nobleman came to Cana of Galilee and sought Jesus to heal his son. We read in John 4:47. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. If this nobleman was a Jew, he probably attended the feast at Jerusalem and witnessed the miracles Jesus did there. If a Gentile, then he had heard of Jesus' power. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went in person to Cana to see him and beseech him to come down and heal his son who was at the point of death. We read in John 4:52, that the son had a fever, because it says his fever left him. And that was a common thing for someone to have a fever, but it could be a frightening thing as well. The nobleman had sufficient faith to believe that Jesus could heal his son, but he thought that Jesus would have to go down in person to where his son was. He did not conceive that Jesus could heal his son at such a distance to make sure of the service of Jesus. He himself went to see Jesus instead of sending servants. He thought that Should his son die before Jesus reached him, it would be too late. He says, the nobleman said, "Sir, come down ere my son die." He had not as great faith as that centurion spoken of in Matthew 8, verses 5 through 13, who said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant shall be healed." We read in John chapter 4 and verse 48 that Jesus said unto him, "Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will in no wise believe." This nobleman had heard that Jesus was a wonderful healer by the cures reported to have been wrought by him, but he had not apparently thought any more of him. The Samaritans had been led to believe in Jesus as the Messiah by the truth he spoke, which was the need of their souls. But this man had been led to him by the reports of miracles, and not by the great truth that he taught. He had some faith which Jesus would develop. Hence he said, "Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will in no wise believe." This seemed a reproof to that condition of heart whose faith depended upon signs and wonders. Thayer says, "The word signs and the word wonders differs not substantially in meaning, but only in origin. And of the word wonder," he says, "in the New Testament, it is found only in the plural and joined with the word signs." And so we read in John 4 and verse 49, the nobleman said to him, "Sir, come down ere my child die." To show that he believed that Jesus could heal his son, this nobleman urged him to go at once, saying, "Come down, lest my son die." And John 4 and verse 50, we read, "Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth." And we read, the man believed the words that Jesus spake unto him and went his way. Jesus is always ready to bless when those seeking the blessing are able to receive it. Ephesians 3 and verse 20 says, Jesus is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He is preparing this nobleman for the reception of the blessing he is about to grant, and for a still greater blessing, he would lead him to the faith that can heal not the body only, but the soul. But it is the Messiah that can heal the soul. When the nobleman had reached the point to believe Jesus, Jesus said, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." The nobleman believed the word that Jesus spake to him, and he went his way. At first he thought Jesus must go to his son in order to heal him. Now he believes Jesus can heal the son at that great distance. He did not comprehend that Jesus was the Messiah, but he believed the words of Jesus, that what he says will come to pass. Of this miracle, our favorite commentator, J.W. McGarvey, says, "This, one of the earliest miracles, was wrought at a greater distance from the subject than any other on record." Jesus wrought other miracles at a distance. We read in John 4, verses 51 and 52. "And as he was now going down, his servants met him, saying that his son lived. So he inquired of them the hour when he began to amend. They said therefore unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him." I'm going to finish reading this. It says in verse 53 and 54, "So the father knew that it was that hour which Jesus said to him, My son liveth, and himself believed in his whole house. This is again the second sign Jesus did, having come out of Judea into Galilee." The father's anxiety was gone because he believed Jesus. He did not have to hurry back home. He spent the night on the road. Then probably he could have reached Capernaum, for he left Jesus at 1 o'clock. On the next morning, servants, that's bond servants or slaves, were sent to tell him his son had passed the crisis and was convalescent. And when he found out what time, it was the hour Jesus said.